Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Hebron. It's good to see you. Today is Palm Sunday. That's the Sunday before Easter Sunday. And Matthew read two passages of Scripture to us, one from the Old Testament in the book of Zechariah, one from Mark's Gospel. And Palm Sunday marks the day when Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem. The crowds met him. They cut down branches of palms and cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Now, what the crowds didn't know, but what Jesus did know, was that Jesus had not come to Jerusalem to be crowned king. Jesus had come to Jerusalem to die, to face the cross. And this morning, I want to think about an event that actually took place on the evening before Palm Sunday. And this event took place at a dinner. And this dinner was held in the village of Bethany, just 2 miles or so from Jerusalem. So I want to read about that event from the Word of God, and you'll find it in John's Gospel in chapter 12. John's Gospel, chapter 12. So I'm just going to read the first 8 verses from John chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it." Or another translation, "Leave her alone, she intended to keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." And just down to verse 12, "The next day the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, 'Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.'" Amen. May God bless his word. Now, as we think about this passage together, I want to ask you a question. What is Jesus worth to you? What is Jesus worth to you? What does Jesus mean to you in your life? This dinner in Bethany had been organized to honor Jesus. And there were a number of people at that dinner. But the narrative focuses on two people in particular. In verse 3, we have the first, that is Mary. Mary, therefore, the first person. And then in the next verse, in verse 4, we have the words, "but Judas," the second person, Mary and Judas. So this is a tale of two hearts. And by the time we get to the end of the narrative, in verse 8, we are left in absolutely no doubt what Jesus was worth to each of these two people. what Jesus meant to each of these two hearts. To Mary, Jesus was worth everything. In her heart, she loved Jesus more than anything. To Judas, Jesus was worth, well, we know what Jesus was worth to Judas. He was worth 30 pieces of silver. And in his heart, he loved money more than anything. He loved money more than Jesus. That's what Jesus was worth to Judas. And so this Palm Sunday, as we head into Easter week, and as we think about what Jesus did on the cross, what he suffered and what he endured, this question comes to us today from the Word of God. What is Jesus worth to you? Is he everything? Is he worth your best? Is he worth your all? Is he worth your life? Do you love him more than anything? Or are there other things that you love more than Jesus? What is Jesus worth to you? Now, with that in mind, let's just look at this passage, this brief passage, John chapter 12. Verse 1, John begins with the timing of this event. It was 6 days before the Passover. Not just any Passover, but the final Passover. This was 6 days before Jesus' death on the cross. John says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany. This is the first of two therefores in the passage. It's a conjunctive. It must connect us to a previous event. What is this first therefore? What is it therefore in the passage? What does it connect us to? Well, if you look at the end of chapter 11, verse 57, we read this. The chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where Jesus was, he should let them know so that they might arrest him. The arrest warrant for Jesus had been issued. Therefore, Jesus goes to Bethany. This is the place where there had been such a commotion a little while back, where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Just look at verse 11 in chapter 12. It says, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. Now just go back to verse 10. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well as Jesus. Now jump back even further to chapter 11, to verse 46. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had seen Lazarus raised to life, believed in Jesus, but some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Now down to verse 53. So from that day on, they made plans to put Jesus to death. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany. Jesus is deliberately putting himself in danger. But he's in control. He's in control. And he knows what lies ahead for him on this week. Now, Bethany was a special place for Jesus. It was a place where he was loved. It was a place where he was welcomed. In Bethany, there were lives that had been touched by the grace of Jesus. Lives that had been touched by the power of Jesus. And there is one family in particular that stands out. Two sisters and their brother, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They had experienced the grace and power of Jesus in a most remarkable way. This was a family that knew Jesus well. This was a family that Jesus loved. Look at chapter 11, verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When you come to their story in chapter 11, John begins the chapter and he's at pains to emphasize the love that Jesus had for this family. Three times over, he mentions Jesus' love for this family. Their story unfolds in chapter 11. Lazarus becomes ill, seriously ill. The sisters send a message to Jesus. He whom you love, Lazarus, he's ill. Come. Help. But Jesus does nothing. Jesus deliberately delays his coming and Lazarus dies. And now these two sisters, their lives are turned upside down. They are consumed with grief and they have to bury their brother. And where's Jesus in all of this? Jesus loved them? This doesn't feel like love to these sisters. 4 days later, Jesus finally arrives, and both sisters ask Jesus the same question. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. They both say the same thing to Jesus. Now, their experience is common to many, and perhaps it is common to many of you in the audience today as you sit. That maybe in your life you are passing through difficult and trying times. Maybe a loss of a loved one. Or a sudden diagnosis. Or the loss of a job. Or uncertainty. Whatever it is. And maybe you are here today and you're asking the same questions of Jesus. I thought you loved me. If you had been here, this would never have happened. Why are you letting me go through this terrible experience? Why don't you answer me? Why don't you answer my prayers? What this family didn't realize at the time was that there was a higher purpose for their pain and their experience. Jesus was going to do something amazing, something that would put his glory and his power on display for all to see. He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and through this experience, this painful experience, this family would be brought even closer to Jesus. They would have an even fuller appreciation of who Jesus was, a fuller appreciation of just how much Jesus loved them. And an even fuller appreciation of his power and his glory. There is a higher purpose to your pain and to your suffering. This is not the end of the story. To appreciate Jesus in an even fuller and deeper way, that his glory may be put on display. But through this painful experience, they came to appreciate that Jesus was the resurrection and the life. You know, chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? That only Jesus can give you life, spiritual life. Only Jesus can give you eternal life. That we are dead in our sins, alienated from God, enemies to God, dead to God, and it's only Jesus who can make us alive. Through his death on the cross, that's why he's going to Jerusalem, to pay the price for our sins, to take our place. And to open up a way back to God, a way of forgiveness, a way of reconciliation. And it is by faith in Jesus, by faith in his sacrifice. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way. But as we come back to our passage, this family in verse 2, they gave a dinner for Jesus there in Bethany. They organized a special dinner to honor Jesus. And all the family play their part in this dinner. In verse 2, there's Martha. She's there and she's busy serving. She's organizing. She's maybe cooking. She's serving. That's what Martha does. She's busy. And Lazarus, he's there too. And what's he doing? Well, what is Lazarus doing? He's just there, you know. Maybe you're saying typical man. He's just there. He's just sitting there at the table with Jesus. But he's looking good. You know, he's looking a lot better than what he previously looked like when he was dead. And when his body was rotting away in the tomb and beginning to decay and smell. And just the fact that Lazarus is sitting there at dinner with Jesus, he is living proof of the power of Jesus. With Lazarus there, no one could dispute the fact that Jesus had raised this man from the dead. He was living proof. And then there is Mary. And John now focuses his narrative on Mary in verse 3 and on her actions. And at this dinner, Mary does something absolutely astonishing, absolutely beautiful, in full view of everyone at that dinner. What was Jesus worth to Mary? Verse 3, Mary, therefore. This is the second therefore. What is this therefore? Takes us back to the story in chapter 11. Now, when you read about Mary in Luke chapter 10, for example, you find Mary, she's sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's listening to his teaching. And she obviously had, you know, a great appreciation of Jesus. But now after chapter 11, that appreciation has grown. And it's even deeper. And it's even fuller. Because of what Jesus had done for her and her family, because of what Jesus meant to her, because of this amazing appreciation that she had of Jesus, at this dinner she performs what is probably the last act of kindness towards Jesus in the days before he will endure the brutality, the hostility, the hatred of the cross. She performs the last act of kindness on Jesus. And she takes a pound of expensive ointment. We're told it's made from pure nard. This ointment was probably made from oil extracted from the root of a plant that you could only obtain in India, perhaps maybe even in the Himalayas. That's why it was so highly valued, so expensive. This was not Old Spice. This was not denim for men or some cheap perfume. Now, I understand that the Jews did not embalm their dead like the Egyptians. They would anoint their dead. They would take the dead body and they would wrap the body in strips of linen. And they would anoint the body with spices and ointment to mask the smell of decay. You know, you get that in chapter 19. You know, the body of Jesus. They took the body of Jesus, bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. This ointment that Mary had, this pure nard, this expensive ointment, well, you would have kept that to anoint the body of the person most precious to you, the person that you loved the most. This was powerful. This was long-lasting perfume. Who was the person most precious to Mary? Who was the person that Mary loved most? It was Jesus. It was Jesus. And without hesitation, you know, and with no reticence in front of all these people, all these men, she anointed his feet. And then she wiped his feet with what? Did she take a towel? She wiped his feet. Now, I know these are the feet of Jesus, but they were still probably dirty feet, smelly feet. And she wipes his feet with her hair. Such humility. She's just pouring out her heart in an act of unrestrained love and affection for Jesus. This is what Jesus meant to Mary. And John tells us that the whole house was filled with the fragrance. Now in verse 4, the focus switches from Mary and her actions, and the spotlight now shines on Judas Iscariot and his actions. And John reminds us that Judas was one of the disciples, and he also reminds us, in brackets in verse 4, that this was the same Judas, the same man who was about to betray Jesus. It's almost as though John is looking back and, you know, he never suspected a thing about Judas. And Judas would betray Jesus with a kiss, no less. You know, that sign of affection that masked the utter deceit in his heart. Now, Judas speaks out in verse 5. Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Judas's words confirm two things. First of all, his words confirm how expensive this ointment Mary used was. It could have been sold for 300 denarii. Now, there's a footnote in my Bible that tells me that one denarius was almost a day's wage in those times. 300 denarii, you know, that was almost a year's wages. You want to put that in today's money? I Googled yesterday that the average wage of men and women in the United Kingdom, and it's almost £30,000. Secondly, Judas's words also confirm the deadness of his heart towards Jesus. He hides behind the pretense of caring for the poor, and he considers Mary's use of this ointment on Jesus as a waste. Now, verse 6, John gives us his expose of Judas's heart. He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. So here are two people, and John is telling us in this passage what Jesus is worth to each of them. Mary loved Jesus more than anything. She thought nothing of giving £30,000 in a spontaneous act of worship on Jesus. Judas loved money more than anything. He loved money more than Jesus, and he thought nothing of selling Jesus for just 30 pieces of silver. Jesus meant everything to Mary, and he meant nothing to Judas. A man who was one of his disciples, a man who had lived closely with Jesus over 3 years or so, who was privileged to witness the many miracles that Jesus had performed, who sat under his teaching. And yet his heart was as dark as night and as cold as stone. He was dead. A life of pretense. Trusted by his fellow disciples, given responsibility by his fellow disciples, and yet Jesus meant nothing to him. How easy it is to deceive other people. how easy it is to deceive ourselves when it comes to faith in Jesus Christ. But Jesus knew his heart. And Jesus has the last word in verses 7 and 8. Jesus says, "Leave Mary alone, Judas. Leave Mary alone." And he gives Judas three reasons to leave Mary alone. Number one, leave her alone, Judas. She intended to keep it for the day of my burial. It's a difficult verse. But I think the Lord is commending Mary's insight, her spontaneity, her impulse in such a public display of devotion. And at such an important time for the Lord Jesus, as he headed into his passion, to Easter week and to the cross. Secondly, Judas, leave Mary alone, for the poor you always have with you. Judas, you say you love the poor? Well, the poor will be with you for the rest of your life. I will not. But I know you, Judas. I know you don't love the poor. You love money. And number three, Judas, leave her alone. You do not always have me. You know, there's coming a time, Judas, when I won't be here physically with you. And this is about me, Judas. And this is about what I mean to you. And Mary has taken her opportunity to show me what I mean to her. And what Mary did must have meant so much to Jesus. As he heads to Jerusalem, to face the cross, to face death, to face hatred, to face the scorn of men, the torture of men, the pain of crucifixion, the judgment of God against our sin laid upon him. And I don't know how long the fragrance from the ointment that Mary used would have lasted. I've read that it could last for weeks. But maybe later that week, as Jesus was arrested, as Jesus found himself alone, as he stood in front of those false trials, as men ridiculed him and scourged him and spat upon him, and as soldiers took his hands and feet and nailed him to the cross, maybe the smell of that pure nard still lingered on his body. And maybe it just reminded Jesus of what he was worth to one grateful and devoted individual. Leave her alone, Judas. And so this Palm Sunday, as we head into Easter week, as we think about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we think about what Jesus was prepared to go through to save your soul. Christian, I want to challenge your heart from the example of Mary. When was the last time your appreciation of Jesus had an impact on someone else? When did you last pour out your heart in appreciation of Jesus? Or is your heart just stone? What is Jesus worth to you? Are you like Mary? Is he everything to you? Are you prepared to give Jesus Christ everything? Are you prepared to give him your life and trust him? Or are you like Judas? Do you love something else more than Jesus? Do you love money more than Jesus? Do you love a lifestyle more than Jesus? Do you love sin more than Jesus? Because if that's where you are, then he really means nothing to you. He's of no worth to you. Remember what Jesus said to Judas. You do not always have me. You know, you've got to take your opportunity to respond to Jesus while you can. Jesus said about Judas, it would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Rejected the truth. He rejected the person of Jesus Christ. A story of two hearts, a tale of two hearts as we head into Easter week. What is Jesus worth to you? May God bless his word. Shall we pray? Father, we just want to thank you for the Lord Jesus. We just want to thank you for the cross and for what he was prepared to endure and to go through to save our souls. Father, we pray that you would speak to us from your word today. We thank you for the devotion of Mary. And we think of the warning from Judas. Father, may your Holy Spirit bring souls to faith in Jesus Christ. May you challenge the hearts of your people who have grown cold. And Father, may we give our all to serving Jesus. So Father, we just ask for your blessing now. In Jesus' name, amen.